Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Discover a New Beginning Blog Talk Radio. Our show, Phenomenally Yours, broadcasts weekly at 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. This show is inspired by and dedicated to all the phenomenal men and women who are making a difference. Whether someone recognizes your worth or not, know that you are awesome. Our guest today is Sharon Bernstein, award-winning author and professional speaker. Welcome, Sharon, to our show. We are so pleased that you could join us today. Welcome to our show.
Thank you, Linda. It is a delight to be on your show, and my goodness, what a great show you have. Your listeners are so lucky to have all the wonderful guests that you have, and I am just so honored and privileged to be here tonight.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, let's hear a little bit about Sharon. Sharon started her path to leadership and being an entrepreneur, beginning work at the young age, but wise age of 15. Since her early ambitions, she has continuously moved forward, leading the way and inspiring others. Sharon is an award-winning author and one of America's most respected speakers. She has trained and spoken to thousands of people of all ages, students and adults, using her training and leadership methods. Through her speaking, training, consulting, and coaching, Sharon Bernstein inspires people, building their confidence to achieve more success in life. She enables people to create and recognize their inner and outer leadership image. The roots of Sharon's career began in education, where she had the privilege of working at the collegiate level and with elementary students. Throughout her career, she has been an international consultant, writer, and speaker. She has worked in executive management with diverse and national corporations and educational institutions before creating her own brand. Sharon is a highly respected motivational and professional development leader, and also in her leadership image. She is inspirational and motivational in all of life's pursuits. She is also an award-winning author and PR strategist, entrepreneur, and owner of several patents. She has written numerous articles for the media spanning diverse subjects, published and authored award-winning motivational and leadership books and cookbooks. When not found speaking, writing, or consulting, Sharon finds her greatest joy spending quality time with her friends and family in New York and on Lake George. So tell us a little bit, Sharon, about yourself. Where did your journey begin?
Well, my journey began, thank you for the lovely intro, by the way. My journey began as a professional, or where did my journey begin? In life, you know, as you aptly just mentioned, I started my career early because I needed to work to make money. So I started working when I was 15 years old. And at that time, I learned how to balance my time well because I needed to excel when I worked and really was working to excel in school. So really learning how to do that and balancing, also learning a lot about sales, customer service, and myself. But my professional career actually started with young people teaching kindergarten in Saratoga Springs, New York. So that I was inspiring the future leaders of what were then tomorrow, but many of them are great leaders now today.
So how did you go from... from teaching very, very young people to being a renowned speaker?
How did it take place? Well, first of all, let me start and begin with, when you are in front of children every day with new lessons every day, first of all, you are speaking and you are entertaining, because keeping the attention of young children is never an easy task, as any mother or aunt or anybody, any adult will tell you. But it was a very fun journey. And while I was teaching, I had actually been asked to begin writing for what was at the time Harcourt Bracey Ivanovich, one of the reading programs. And I was starting to speak a lot on language for daily use, and I really enjoyed it. Then I was also working with another reading program and asked to be a consultant. So that's actually, that it was a program I was using, and at that point left teaching and began as a reading consultant. And I loved that, but that was also right at the cutting edge in the very beginning of microcomputers. I don't know, Linda, do you remember a time when people, there was, you know, the media would say, and in 10 years, there will be a computer on everybody's desk and probably
right.
in everybody's home. And of course, right now, it's in everybody's purse, and it's much bigger and more powerful than those were. But at the time, Apple and Radio Shack, and I think we're the only two out there. And I had the privilege of being asked to join what was going to be an educational group for Monroe Computer, and then I was asked to join Victor, which was the darling of the gentleman who created the microprocessor. Anyhow, technology in the 80s was interesting, to say the least. It's kind of like what social media is now, a lot of transitional. And I had the opportunity to then was asked to head the marketing program to take AT&T through their divestiture in their marketing for their marketing and create their programs. And that's how I really got into PR marketing, was speaking and meeting with all executives, top Fortune 50, 100 companies all around the country. And from there, I actually got married and moved from my house in Connecticut to New York and worked for an international conglomerate. And then when I had our daughter, I started my own companies and then had a manufacturing company. And I'd been speaking an awful lot along the way and also as an adjunct professor. And I really love inspiring young minds or anybody's minds, changing lives, creating futures. And then I'd been inspired and asked and, well, actually suggested by, I call him my magic unicorn. His name is Bob Danzig. He's the former worldwide publisher of all of Hearst's newspapers, who had humble beginnings and is just a magnificent person and has been a tremendous mentor of mine. And probably about in 2000, so probably around 15 years ago, a little over that, he started encouraging me, saying, what you need to do is you need to write books now, and you need to speak and really start to just move in that direction. And as we all know, timing is everything. And with a young daughter at the time headed towards college, it wasn't until she hit law school that I really decided that I was going to really start taking writing seriously and speaking. And that was about 5 or 7 years ago, and that is what I really do now. So I do have global companies still now in the communications area, but what I love, Linda, is that I traverse now globally and coast to coast here on the continental U.S., speaking with audiences of all sizes in industries and associations and corporations in so many different ways. It is just so much fun.
What a phenomenal history that you have in just how, you know, isn't it amazing sometimes that we don't see how the pieces of the puzzle of our lives fit together, and they just seem so abstract at the time. From your beginnings of standing in front of children, very young children, having, as you said, to not only teach them but to entertain them, gave you the groundwork that you needed now in order to become the inspirational speaker that you are, because as you know, you can have a dynamic message, but if your presentation isn't reaching your audience, then your message is falling on deaf ears, and so it doesn't do any good. So who knew that was preparing you now for your global ministry that you have in terms of speaking and empowering people.
You're so right. That is so dead on. But what I love is I love being authentic. And there are many speakers, and they're wonderful speakers, but they don't have experience. So when somebody asks you something from a business side, many people have never really worked in a corporation. Many people have never owned their really owned businesses. So it's wonderful, and when I'm speaking in schools, you know, aside from, of course, we were all students, but it's really nice to be able to, from educators, that I was one. So it gives me a certain credibility when I'm also in high schools or universities that I've taught on both. And, you know, and I understand the culture and understand relating to students and how to go about putting together a presentation, because although they're pretty much the same, you know, every audience is different. And I do customize to every audience. So, and I think that has a lot to do with my education background, because as we all know, every day is a different lesson, and you can't do the same thing from a cookie cutter. And I learned that long ago. So that's what I love doing, and I think you're very much the same way. You love lots of different things.
You're right. You know, the message pretty much is the same. We are inspiring. We are empowering. We are trying to get people from where they are to live the lives that they were created to live. So bottom line, that's the message. But you do have to customize your speech to your audience. And so the greatest satisfaction, Sharon, that I have when I'm speaking is that I can see somebody in the audience nodding their head, because that lets me know that they're getting it. Whatever it is I'm saying, they're getting it. And I think that's the good. It's almost like for a comedian to have laughter at a joke that he thought was funny and to have someone else laugh at it. I think as motivational, inspirational speakers, to speak and see someone in the audience connecting to what you're saying, and that's that authenticity, I think, that you spoke about. That authenticity just lends credence to whatever it is we're saying. So,
oh, it is. And you know,
I agree with you.
Yeah, and with my book, Life Snacks, that was my first book, and of course now that's in a series, and the second book in my Life Snacks series, Life Snacks for Women, was released this past May. But what I love is I can't tell you how many people will say, number three changed my life. Well, number three happens to be plan. But, you know, plan today for your tomorrow ahead. Lots of the tips and advice that I give are not rocket science, but it's incredible how your words can change people's lives. And I really have been overwhelmed in the last years with my writing books, how many people will say one of my quotes or something in my book totally changed their life and change their attitude, their mindset, has now made them more successful. And I'm sure you find that same thing, that it's so gratifying to know that you are being able to help somebody achieve greater success in their career and in their personal life. And that makes happier people, too.
Right. That's right. That's absolutely correct. So tell me this. You spoke a little bit about in your bio, you spoke a little bit about the inner and outer leadership image. Talk to us a little bit about that. What is that, and what's the difference between your inner and your outer leadership image?
Okay, well, leadership is what you do, and your leadership image is who you are. You know, lots of times, you know, a title doesn't make you a leader, although lots of times people are given these great titles and expected to be leaders, but not given leadership skills. So a lot of your leadership image is like DNA. It is unique to you. Think of it as like a shadow. Think of Peter Pan. Your leadership image is always with you, but it changes. Just like, you know, when you're walking, if it's light out, your shadow is bigger or smaller. But your leadership image is always who you are. And remember that when somebody sees you, when they see you, there is only one chance to make a first impression. And you have approximately, people debate it, but it's really between 3 and 7 seconds to make that first impression. So when we work with people on their leadership image, we're talking about how you act, dress, speak, and communicate, because it's really your whole package. And often, I work a lot with colleges and corporations, because lots of times people do not speak or dress for the position they are in. And if you are dressed not for the position you're in, it doesn't mean you have to have expensive clothes. It's just having the right look. You know, you can be too informal. You can be too formal. You can be way too casual. And a lot of things we find these days is people don't know how to dress also or speak and communicate to their teams. One of the things, social media has been a wonderful thing in many regards, but social media has also hindered our ability to have relationships. And one of my greatest fears is I look at, especially young people, is that I see that we are not really helping them learn how to communicate effectively and make the connections they need in life, because life is really about who, you know, making connections, making meaningful connections on personal and professional levels to be able to speak effectively and helps you be more successful in your life. So, I mean, that's the long and short of leadership image. But when I work with people, we start with, working on how you perceive your leadership image. And then we'll look at it the other way, is how do you feel others perceive your leadership image? And we'll start to analyze those two things first. And people are always amazed how different they are or how they describe themselves, and we'll have them do exercises with others, and they find that people look at them much different. And usually it's much more flattering than you or I would give our own selves credit for. People look at people in a whole different light. But we start on many things you and I were touching on before: visualization, setting goals. What do you want to achieve? And what kind of leader do you want to be? So helping people understand the different styles and types of leadership, understanding their personalities. And I've established color. There are different colors for different kinds of groupings, and they're very simple. But once you understand your leadership color, actually not only will you understand yourself, but you find that when you're meeting and speaking with others that you start to identify what color, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, or purple, that they are, and it actually helps you to interface more successfully with them. And it's a journey, and life is a great journey and should be a fun journey.
Mm-hmm. And I say that to people all the time. Life is a journey, but what happens a lot of times, Sharon, and I'm sure you've encountered this, people get to a point where they feel as if they have reached their destination. And once you reach your destination, you're not moving anymore. Once you get to wherever it is you feel you were going, that's where you are. And so if you reach a point in your life where you no longer consider it a journey, but rather a destination, then you have become complacent and you get stuck in your comfort zone and what I call also your not-so-comfort zone, because a lot of times people are not comfortable where they're stuck at, but we get stuck. But you hit on a couple of really good points when you talked about your self-image. We do see ourselves totally different than other people see us. I always say we see ourselves from the inside out. Everybody else sees us from the outside in. And so it's two totally different perceptions of how we see ourselves and how other people see ourselves. I can remember as a teenager, the perception I had of myself, and this is really how I thought everybody else saw me. Now when I encounter some of my classmates from high school, And, you know, since I have been on this journey of discovery and self-discovery, I've asked them, how do they remember me? And I am always so amazed, Sharon, because they saw me as a totally different person than what I saw myself. So you're absolutely right. I do think that as we go and as we grow, we do need to reach out. And we need to, you know, sometimes it may not be comfortable what other people have to say about how they see us, but I think that's part of our growth.
No question. Absolutely. You know, growing, sometimes you have to get out of your comfort zone. That's when you grow. And I use acronyms a lot, and I always use one of my acronyms is ABLE, A-B-L-E, always be learning every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you need to learn something every day. And it's when you stretch yourself and get out of that comfort zone that you grow and are able to take the next steps. And, you know, as we both know, and we would encourage all of your listeners too, it's not the size of the step that you take. So set goals and, of course, set an action plan. But it's taking the action. You can set all the goals you want in the world, but until you start to take action and move, you don't have much of a plan.
That's right.
You know, so, and it's always about moving forward. They can be small steps. And I always loved the movie What About Bob? I don't know if you ever remember that movie, What About Bob, with Bill Murray, and Baby Steps. And, you know, taking little steps, because the steps forward, they're always doing that. Then the other two major things that people need to be to do that is changing in their attitude and having a positive attitude and an attitude that's worth catching, because your attitude and your mindset really determined, you know, if you have a negative mindset, then probably your life is going to be filled with a lot of negativity. If you have a lot of positive mindset and you're open and you visualize successes and moving forward and growing as a person, you will.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely. And I don't know whether people actually understand and realize just how important what you just said is. Your thoughts, whether it's positive or negative, impact your life. I work with women who are in transition. And this transition can be as a result of anything that kind of throws us off track, and we're at a point in our lives where we may have a difficult time getting back on track. So that, I've worked with homeless women. I've worked with women who are divorced, who are widowed, retirement, empty nesters, anything that kind of throws us off. But working with women that are in transitional housing and in shelters is probably my most rewarding. And I tell these ladies that water seeks its own level. So if you've got a lot of people around you that are negative, that are always complaining, then you need to take a look at what you're thinking and what your thoughts are. Because those are the kind, you know, when they say misery loves company, it's correct, because those are the only people that want to be around miserable people or other miserable people. So you're right. I think we do very much have to be careful of what we're thinking and how we're thinking. And then it requires action. You know, the difference between a vision and a goal is a vision is a thought. And a goal requires some action. So
exactly, and then accountability and time frames to not just saying you're going to have the goal, but what is the time frame? What is the specific? When? Is it going to be Thursday, August 3rd at 6 p.m.? When? Because you have to give yourself some accountability, not just saying, I've got the action plan, written the goals, I've got an action plan. Well, good. Well, how are you keeping yourself accountable? And sometimes having an accountability partner, somebody that you trust and that you can help each other, also encourage each other, and that helps you stretch but holds you a little bit accountable for keeping you on track.
That's right. That's right. You have
you know,
to
I find.
That.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So we talk about just a self-image and our thoughts being healthy or unhealthy. Why is having such a healthy self-image such a challenge for a lot of people? We just seem to be.
Well, you know, I agree. And one of my favorite questions, Linda, is in every speech that I do, regardless of the age group or the size or the industry or association, question I ask is, who here was given great leadership skills as a child? And even if I've got 1,000 or 2,000 people in the audience, I think the most hands that I have ever had up is 7.
Yeah.
Most often I get none, sometimes
right.
1 or 2. And one of the things that I encourage everybody and everybody listening to this program now is really the best thing that we can do is to give our children, starting at a young age, great leadership
right.
skills. Now, how we start to do that is helping to develop confidence and self-esteem, because when you feel good about yourself and you believe in yourself and you're confident, then you can, you know, there's nothing you can't conquer. In fact, I'll share something with you. Years ago when I was getting out of undergraduate school, and as we have discussed before, I started my career as an educator, there was a woman I tremendously admired. Her name was Dr. Dorothy Ohlendorf, and she was head of the education program, and she was a very distinguished-looking woman, and I wanted to look kind of, you know, some that kind of look and confidence, and just when she stepped into a room, everybody took notice. She just commanded the room, just, and I said, you know, Dr. Ohlendorf, tell me, what is your secret to be able to do that? She said, Sharon, it's really quite simple. And I said, all right. She said, remember your ABCs. She said, do you know your ABCs? And, of course, I'm at the end of undergraduate school, and I'm thinking, well, I think, I hope I know my ABCs. And she's kind of lingering, and it's kind of silent for a bit. And she said, do you know what your ABCs really are? And I said, well, you know, of course, things, I'm thinking letters, but I now realize that she is thinking something beyond that. She said, it's very simple. ABCs are always be confident.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, Sharon, it is simple as that. When you are confident and you believe in yourself, everybody else will believe in you.
That's right.
She said, it's really not magic. Just remember, in life, everything you do, remember your ABCs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct.
And you know the other thing, Linda, going back and when we're talking about children, and we actually have adults that have this same, I don't want to say problem, but type, is bullying. And when kids have greater self-confidence and self-esteem, you find less bullying. Often bullies are people who don't have a lot of confidence and self-esteem and create this sense of bravado as a shield. So the more that we can give kids and the skill set to go with
that
confidence, then in all, you know, kids of all ages and all life, then we are doing just something that, you know, serves them well throughout their entire life.
Yes, that's right. And see, I have 2 sons and didn't really know that I was training my boys to be leaders, but I would always force them to make choices. So they would say, Mommy, can I have something to drink? And I'd say, yes, do you want water? You want juice, you want soda, you want Kool-Aid. And they'd say, I want juice. You want apple juice, you want orange juice, you want cranberry juice. I forced them to make decisions.
To make choice.
That's right. in forcing them to choose, it developed leadership qualities, because if you can make a decision, leaders make decisions. Followers don't.
Absolutely. Life is about choice and the choices you make, good choices or bad choices. You're held accountable for those. I used to do a similar thing with our daughter. We'd do something and go somewhere, and I'd say, well, what were your three favorite things that you liked the most, learned the most, enjoyed the most, whatever. So recounting, and also that helps to reinforce whatever those decisions, you know, what did you enjoy most, what did you learn most, and, you know, when you reiterate it verbally, it stays in your mind. When you ask and give choices and they make those choices, they also have no, it's also something that you can't complain about too, because you were given that choice. So when those boys chose apple juice or chocolate milk or whatever it was, then they have to be much more happy because they were part of that choice.
That's right. That's correct. That's correct. And so I, and then when they got old enough to understand, I always would say to them, you are a leader. You are not a follower. You are a leader. You make the decision. But then what I had to also train them is that if you're going to be a good leader, then you cannot have people follow you when you've made a bad decision, because you're going to be held accountable not only for yourself, but for leading those people to follow you when you knew you were not making a good decision or you knew you were doing something wrong. And so I also would train them, and I think that goes a long way in building confidence in our children so that they can become leaders, so that when if the opportunity ever arose that my son was in an audience and you ask who here was given great leadership skills as a child, that they would be able to raise their hand, because they would say, my mama forced me to make a choice. Even when I said, mama, I don't know, then I'd say, okay, well, when you figure out what it is you want, you come back and you let me know.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And you know
important.
What, too? Lots of times you, with that leadership building on that same theme, is lots of times, you know, you, a title, again, does not make you a leader. And sometimes we have all, everybody at different times in your life, you may work for somebody because you have to, you report to them. But does that mean, does leadership mean that they have to respect you? You know, respect doesn't come with a title. Respect is earned.
Correct.
You know, so the trait also of a great leader is somebody that you don't, when people are working for you, and not because they have to,
that's
but
right,
because you're results-oriented and they respect you.
That's correct. That's the sign of a great leader. So tell us, how did your childhood play a role in who you have become as a woman and as a professional?
That's a lovely question. Actually, I credit in my book, What's Your Leadership Image? And all the time, my maternal grandmother was very much of the person who I most admired in my life and probably was the greatest encourager. I didn't grow up, actually, I grew up in a house that had, you know, two parents, but they really were not the most encouraging. In fact, they were both of a type that, oh, well, you know, I've always had a lot of energy and ambition, and they would say, well, do you really want to do that? What if you fail? It's like, well, who cares? I'll learn something and I'll move on. It's like, oh, well, you know, you should slow down, take it safe. And it's like, but, you know, life isn't always about taking the safe track. My grandmother was the opposite, and my grandfather was highly accomplished too, but my grandmother would say, if you can dream it, you can do it. You want to do it, you want to be it, go out. You go out and try, you be your best. She said, that's the only thing you have to commit to, is you be the best that you are, you can possibly be at everything you do. And she was the one who inspired to creating a life of excellence that I really, really strive to do in everything I do. It is my tagline, create excellence with lasting impressions. I have my own mission statement, which what can I do to inspire myself and others through my actions that will create excellence with lasting impressions, and I review it in the morning and I review it in the evening. What did I do today to inspire myself? And my grandmother was inspirational in so many ways, and I had an aunt that actually wasn't related, but we called her Aunt Gladys. And she, too, she was an artist, and she was very creative. And she said, sometimes you have to look outside the box. Life isn't always what you see. It's what you see beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
so those
absolutely.
Two women were probably the greatest forces in my life. And, of course, you know, I probably wasn't that crazy about starting to work as young as I was, but I learned a lot, made a lot of good money, was able to do things that I wouldn't have been able to do, but it taught me a lot of people skills, and it taught me a lot about myself and time management. And time management, as you and I both know, time management is huge.
That is huge. If you don't, and I learned that, let me tell you a little something quite quick. So I retired 2 years ago, and at the time that I retired, I was writing for a couple of magazines, and I was getting paid. I was doing a weekly article. So the article was due on Friday. Now, all the while that I was working, by Wednesday, I had the article ready, proofed, and by Wednesday evening, first thing Thursday morning, I was submitting that to the team. First week I retired, it got to be Thursday, Sharon, Thursday, and I had not even started on the article. I said, what the heck? What have I been doing all week? That was such a powerful lesson to me, because what I realized is that retirement was one of the biggest transitions that I had gone through in my life. And I had gone from having structure to having no structure, and I had to create a new normal. So time management became very important. See, we have it when we're on someone else's clock. You have to manage your time because you're on someone else's clock and you're on their payroll. Your whole life then revolves around that clock. So you're forced to have time. Now, whether you accomplish any personally or not is another whole subject. But in terms of doing what you need to do for your clock puncher, you have it. But once you no longer have that, and you've experienced that, once you no longer have that, you've got to really, really manage your time or you will not get anything accomplished. Do you agree
well,
with that?
You know, oh, I totally do. And as I say, if you want to get something done, ask a busy person.
That's right. That's exactly right. That is exactly right. So, what has been your biggest professional accomplishment?
My biggest accomplishment, certainly I've always wanted to write books. So seeing my first book get printed, that was huge for me. It was one of my big life dreams. But when I speak and I impact audiences and you see, as we were talking about, them having aha moments and seeing how they can implement different things, little mind shifts that can have a big impact, and then seeing some of these people later on and having them share their stories, how your talks have impacted their lives, whether it's students or adults, that's extremely powerful. When you have the ability to help someone improve their life, that is just amazing. As I call it, changing lives, creating futures. And when you can leave lasting impressions that make meaningful differences I can't think of anything more rewarding. And that's been lovely. And that's why I also created Leadership Summit America, which is my leadership summit that this year will be November 2nd and 3rd. And we bring together noted leaders from all over the world for a day and a half symposium. People last year came from 12 states and 25 industries. We had scholarships for some of our youth, actually, and they ranged from about 17 to 80 in the audience. And when you can do that and get people to connect in those ways and see that, as you know, as a speaker, when you see that, those aha moments and those people shaking their heads, and you know you've done something very special. So, you know, if not everybody in your audience tonight is or today is a speaker, but you know what? You can do something that's so simple, that can be so impactful, and do it every day, and that's compliments. You know?
That's right.
A compliment doesn't cost anything. Who doesn't love to receive a compliment? A compliment, when you give a compliment, the person loves it, and you feel good just having given that person the compliment. But I will tell you what are the most impactful are the world's 10 most powerful words. Do you know what those are, Linda?
What is
the
that?
The 10 most powerful words in the world. And that would be my biggest advice to everybody. And this is my little secret that I love sharing with people. The 10 most powerful words in the world are, if it is to be, it is up to me.
That's right. That's exactly right. Because you know what we do, and I speak of this often, we tend to have a victim's mentality. That means it's not my fault, the reason why I'm in this. And see, when I work with women that are in the homeless shelter, that's a prime audience. I tell them, you know, a victim's mentality says it's not my fault, the reason why I am in the situation that I'm in now. So if it's not my fault, the reason why I'm in this situation, it's up to somebody else to get me out of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's a victim's mentality, that I'm waiting. I'm waiting for someone else. I'm waiting for someone else. And I tell women, I'm like you, it doesn't matter what my audience is, whether I'm talking to professionals or whether I'm talking to women in the transitional housing, whatever it is you're going to do in your life, whatever it is you want to happen in your life, it's up to you to make it happen. Now, people will help you, but they're not going to do it for you. So you're right. If it's to be, it's up to me. That's great. That's great.
Well, you can't do somebody else's push-ups for them, Linda.
Right.
Pretty simple.
That's exactly right. Yeah. If I could get somebody to go to the gym for me, I'd be in good shape.
Exactly. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
That I have a membership in, I pass by it every day. I say, I need to be in there.
Exactly.
So, you know, if we could get someone else to do it and we reap the benefits,
Wouldn't that be wonderful? Hey.
That would just be great. Unfortunately, as you said, it doesn't work like that. So,
no.
As we begin to wrap up, so tell us, how do you refill your spirit pouring into so many others? We all know that you cannot pour from an empty vessel. So how do you refill your spirit?
Well, that's a wonderful question. I absolutely do that. I think it's trying to do when, again, inspiring others, and how do I fill myself up? I try to find joy in every day. I love looking at the sunrise. I'm a big person who loves to take walks, connect with nature. This time of year, I'm also a huge gardener. And I'll tell you, gardening is something that also works and really replenishes you in so many different ways.
Just playing in the dirt, huh?
Absolutely. You know, there's something very comforting and motivating, and it's very lovely watching something grow and seeing its the development. But, you know, finding joy in every day and being thankful for the many great things that one has in life. You know, you can never take things for granted. Always be full, have a attitude that's filled with tremendous gratitude.
Oh, that's exactly right. Gratitude is one of the absolute best rewards that you can have in life. I'm just convinced that because what gratitude does, Sharon, is it allows that humbling spirit to dwell in us so that we don't become so all about me. See, I pray every day that that I be decreased. I don't want it to be about me. It's not about me. And I'm very grateful and I'm thankful that I've been given the gift, such as you, that through my words and through my writing, that we are able to impact lives in a meaningful way. But I never want to get to the point where I feel it's me. It's all about me.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, gratitude and being humble helps a lot in what we do so that we always stay focused on the fact that it's not about us. It's all about who it is that we can help in whatever way we can. So, yeah. So I agree. So what's next for you? What's your vision for where you're going from here?
Well, to be able to impact more lives, to continue my writing and reaching different audiences. One of the things I'm in the process of doing, of course, I have already said that we have the Leadership Summit America this year. We're continuing to grow that. That's in Albany, New York. And anybody can find information on my website at SharonBurstein.com. But the other thing is I'm in the process of creating what has been called the Educational Leadership Institute. And we're shaping that now and how to create some educational programs for both youth, women, and being able to impact people in meaningful ways, you know, through seminars, webinars, being able to scholarship people in a multitude of ways, and that's still shaping form. But to me, I worked my way through college and creating a leadership institute that gives back and helps build people's education to me is hugely rewarding. So that's probably the next major big focus within what I'm doing now.
Okay. Well, we want to thank you, Sharon, for just sharing with us this evening. You have just given us some very powerful words, a very powerful and impactful message that you have. We want to thank you. Can you tell our listening audience how they might be able to reach out to you?
Absolutely. First of all, you can reach out to me through my website, Sharon Burstein, SharonBurstein.com. I also love hearing from listeners, so you can also call me. I'm very open to speaking to people. You can reach me at 518-339-4027. Or you can like me on LinkedIn or Sharon Burstein International on Facebook. And I love to connect with people, and I do, you know, I connect with people all the time, speaking to them, and I think that's what I love to do is the more people that we network are not just business cards, but the more people you're connecting to and helping people get connected to and helping them and inspiring them, it just makes it makes my day every day when I hear from somebody new. So please email me at Sharon@SharonBurstein.com. Call me, email me, come to one of our seminars. But my biggest advice to everybody is stay connected, stay humble, have a life of gratitude. And remember, if it is to be, it is up to me, meaning you.
Very good. Be sure to join us every week on Blog Talk Radio and We Speak Life Radio to hear from another phenomenal person, or you can listen to our broadcast, blogtalkradio.com/discover a new beginning. If you'd like to be a guest on the show or you know someone who is phenomenal, please contact me at linda@lindahwilliams.com. So I leave you with these words from that phenomenal woman, Maya Angelou. I walk into a room just as cool as you please, and to a man, the fellas stand or fall down on their knees. Then they swarm around me, a hive of honeybees. I say it's the fire in my eyes and the flash of my teeth. It's the swing in my waist and the joy in my feet. You see, I'm a woman, phenomenally, phenomenal woman. That's me. Thank you, Sharon, for joining us this week. Thank you, everyone. Be sure to join us next time when we hear from another phenomenal guest. Until then, good night.